This is Digital Story Podcast number 551, October 4th, 2016. Today's theme is off-season projects. I'm Derek Story. Over the next few months, the days will shorten and the weather becomes less favorable for North American photographers. So after we've had our fill of fall color, it's time to think about projects that we've shelved during the long days of summer. This week, I offer a few ideas for you to consider during your photography off season. When I was mowing lawns to augment my income during those college days, I actually liked winter. I might not have made as much money. Of course, I was a gardener in Southern California at the time, so we could still work during the winter. We still had to work during the winter. But we didn't have as many work days. We still had rain, and it would get chilly, and the wind would come up, and we'd have all those sort of things. But it wasn't like back east where we would have 3 feet of snow, and I wouldn't be able to work the entire winter. I just had more days off in the winter. And I sort of like that because it gave me a chance to work on my gardening equipment. I could clean up my lawnmowers. I could sharpen blades. I could really mend my hand tools, you know, that had, you know, all the kind of stuff that while you're in the middle of a very busy working season, you don't have time to do. You just kind of patch it together best you can. But during the winter, I could actually open up the garage door where I kept all my equipment inside. And even if it was raining outside, you could just sort of watch the rain and put the lawnmower up on a couple saw horses and change the oil and change the spark plug and sharpen the blade and clean it all up. And by the time spring came around, I usually had everything looking really nice and I was ready for the busy season ahead. And I sort of look at photography like that too. In fall, yes, we do have fall color, most of us here in North America. So there's a couple shoots, maybe a few shoots, but not much more than that. And because the days really are shorter this time of year, considerably shorter, and the weather is, you know, not as much fun to be out there, and we probably don't go as many places, it's really a good time to work on some projects, some things that we have said to ourselves, you know, I really need to get to dot, dot, dot. Well, I have five of those right now. You knew there were going to be five, right? I have five right now, and let's talk about them. Let's start with the first one. Migrate to Capture One Pro. All right, if you're an Aputure user and you haven't done your migration yet, preferably to Capture One Pro, you can go to Lightroom, of course. I recommend Capture One Pro. It's time to do it. It's time to do it. Okay, Aputure is getting extremely long in the tooth, and Capture One Pro continues to evolve, and it's just the way to go. And in fact, I ran a piece today on the Digital Story, I'm recording this on Monday, that shows an Aputure library what it looks like after you've migrated to Capture One Pro. It's a little video, it's a free video from my lynda.com training on Capture One Pro Essential Training. It's not bad, but it does take a little bit of time, and you do want to organize things a bit. And the off season is the perfect time to do it. And you can start the project and then work on a little bit more and work on a little bit more. Now, as an alternative to this, to migrating from Aputure to Capture One Pro, for those of you that use Macs, I would say give Photos for macOS a second chance. That's an alternative version to migrating to Capture One Pro. And the reason why I say that is because Photos for macOS has really changed a lot since the first version. And now that Sierra's out, and now that we have all these editing extensions, it's really pretty neat. And if you haven't had time to play with it or to look at it or the inclination even, Off-season is a great time just to take a peek, and especially if you're shooting with an iPhone, I think you deserve to see what it's doing with all that metadata that your iPhone is capturing, location and faces and all that good stuff, and really see what Photos does with it in the library. So either one of those, I think, is a good off-season project. Next one, upgrade your backup system. So are your hard drives beginning to bulge at the seams with all that stuff that you shot during spring and summer? It doesn't take much, does it? I mean, you look up and you go, wow, I only have 20 gigs left on that hard drive. And then you go, what am I going to do now? Well, really what you need to do is step back for a moment, evaluate your entire backup system, all of your hardware, all your software, your procedures, and then build a new plan for 2017. Off-season, fall especially, is a great time to do that because you can get everything in order. And this is the same with the Capture One migration too. You can get everything in order at the end of 2016 and then start out 2017 with, bam, I got my photo management system under control. Bam, my backup system is tons of headroom, and just on and on. So this is a great time of year to really take a look at your backup system, evaluate your hard drives, how you're doing stuff, make a budget, figure out what you're going to have to do, and then you can start working toward it. And hopefully, by the time you get to December, you will have been able to purchase the hardware that you need and reinvigorate your backup system. Here's another one. Make 12 fine art prints. Now, I talk about this every year, and for good reason. It's cool. I mean, really, the ultimate backup system is committing a dozen of your finest images from the previous year, or from this year, to paper. That is the ultimate backup system. You put them on paper, archival paper, Red River paper, of course, and you take good care of them, then you do not have to worry about hard drives or optical disk or anything. They will be there not 10 years from now, not 20 years from now, probably not 50 years from now, but 60, 70, 80 years from now. And that is cool. And it really gives you a chance to look at the images that you've captured so far this year and say, what's my best work? Maybe put together an album of 30 or 40 shots that you think are deserving of going to print and show them to folks and say, which dozen would you pick out here? Which shots do you think I should commit to paper as part of my legacy? Now, I know legacy is such a heavy word, such a big word, I don't mean it that way. I mean, just shots that you want to be around no matter what else happens to all of your stuff. Does that sound better? Does that sound less heavy? Making 12 prints, what a great idea. And I'll tell you, when you have inclement weather outside and you're inside and it's a Saturday or a Sunday or a Monday night, whatever it happens to be, and you're just printing and you're getting into it, and you got the first print coming out and you really like it, you start working on the next print, you got them laying out all over the place, you got a few test prints here and there, suddenly you're going to feel like an artist. I am telling you, you are going to feel so good about the work that you're doing, not only at that moment while you're printing, but the work that you've been doing throughout the first part of the year up until this point. And you're going, these images look good on the computer screen, but now that I have a 13 by 19 inch print sitting here on the coffee table and I'm looking at it, I go, I really like that shot. I'm really happy that I was able to take it. So making 12 fine art prints is a great off-season project. Now, I recommend that you do it every year, of course. If you haven't done it in the past, start this year. Make 12 prints. You'll be really happy that you did. Has anything tempted you so far? Well, how about this? Digitize negatives and slides. Since you can't be out taking pictures, how about leveraging the images that you've already captured? By digitizing selected film shots, you can put them to work. And I'm not talking about hundreds and sending them off to a service, although that's okay, and that is definitely a worthy off-season project. But you can digitize them at home. You can pick 20 or 30 shots and digitize them at home. I have run articles on the Analog Story about this, but essentially what I do is I use a macro lens. I use a light box. You can make your own light box if you want. And then I just use an oversized filter, a photo filter, to put on top of the negative to hold it down, to keep it flat, angle the camera, and then I shoot a raw file of it. I just shoot a raw file of that image, of that negative. And then in Capture One Pro, it's really easy. You basically just reverse the lights and darks on the histogram. And if it's a negative, then it becomes a positive. Again, I have articles on this on the Analog Story. And it's really easy to do. And I think it's a bit more satisfying when you digitize them yourself. You don't have to get a film scanner. All you really need is a macro lens, which most of us have. A light box, which if you don't have already, you can make, and then an oversized photo filter, and then off to the races you go. Shoot raw and have some fun with this. By picking out a dozen, two dozen, however many you decide to digitize, those images were not being used. You did not have them in your Lightroom catalog or your Capture One catalog, and now you do, and now you can use them, and now you can make prints, or now you can share them. Now you can even post them on Instagram. So it is a very worthy project. And then once you get your system down, and I have to tell you, half the fun is creating your system to digitize them. I mean, that's the DIY project, right? So half the fun's doing that, but once you have it, then you have it. And it's easy to go back and do more later on, anytime that you want. So digitizing existing negatives and slides, a lot of fun. And again, very worthwhile, and it will add great images to your catalog, to your library, without you having to snap the shutter once. All right, here's the last one. Now, if none of this is appealing to you, how about this? Cataloging your photo gear. Now, come on. How can you not like this one? You get to play with all your toys, right? You know, but all of your camera bodies, all of your lenses, anything that really has a serial number, catalog it. There's all sorts of software for Mac and Windows that you can use for home inventory. And you take a picture of the item. You write down, you know, whatever you know about it. If you know how much you spent, that's great. You write the serial number, and then you put it in an online catalog. And you keep it with you, and you back it up. And I like home inventory software that gets backed up to the cloud automatically. Because if something were to happen at your home, and your computer became part of the collateral damage, then you don't want your inventory to go off with it. So by having it on your computer and then in the cloud both, then your catalog can be used in case something bad happens. But this is not just in case something bad happens. This is not just for insurance purposes. This is to help you manage your gear, to help you look at your stuff and figure out, you know, what you have. Maybe think about, well, maybe I should get rid of a few pieces and raise a little bit of money to buy something new. And it's so much easier when you have all the information right there, the serial numbers and all that sort of stuff, to move them along, to put them on Craigslist, however you do that sort of stuff. So I think cataloging your gear and really having a handle on what you have, including the serial numbers, there's no downside to it. And it's a fun project. It's kind of a real easy project. You can have a football game on while you do it. And you're being productive. And again, when you get to the end of 2016, if you've done any of these, you go, wow, I got some things checked off my list that I hadn't been able to get to in the past. The important part is starting the project. You can take as long as you want to finish it. There's no deadline, but you have to start the project. And I recommend that you figure out what you want to do and then start it this month. October is a perfect time to get going on these off-season projects. In the news, if you've been thinking about updating your laptop, especially if you're a Mac user, you might want to hold off for a few weeks, because it looks like by the end of October, right around October 24th, Apple's probably going to announce, this is rumor, but there's a good likelihood that Apple will announce brand new 13-inch and 15-inch MacBook Pros. This is the first major redesign of these computers in about 4 years, and we haven't even seen any sort of substantial refresh since the spring of 2015. So these existing laptops that are out there right now that are available are really pretty long in the tooth. Now, there are some new goodies that we may see. Again, all rumor. One of them, and kind of at the top of the list, is the dynamic function row, which would be an OLED touch bar that replaces the function keys. And this could be really cool, because being dynamic, it could be specific to the application that you're running at any given moment. And being touch, it'd be very easy to use. And there's all sorts of stuff you could do with it. So that's kind of exciting. We might also see Touch ID, which would be fun. Might see Thunderbolt 3. Lots of upgrades under the hood. A new keyboard, a redesigned keyboard. Thinner and lighter, most likely. So, I mean, this is going to be really fun if it happens. I know I'm looking at my laptops. That one is, 4 years old, and the other one now is 2 years old. And just thinking, I wonder if I could raise the capital to, to upgrade. So I'm kind of waiting and seeing also. But especially if you're in the market or you're thinking about it's time to upgrade that hardware, just hang out for a little bit. I'm pretty sure that by the end of October, we should hear something from Apple. Once you know what they're going to do and how much it's going to cost, then you can go on and make your buying decision, whether it's a new device or, you know, capturing a deal on an older device that you can scoop up at a terrific price. Drobo Diaries. Well, this week's is pretty short, but it's pretty sweet. You know, what I did last week was measure how fast I could copy and do a Finder copy of these big Capture One catalogs to the new Drobo, and how that compared, you know, with the older 5D. So I'm talking about the 5D Turbo versus the regular 5D. And the difference was substantial. Again, using Thunderbolt as my I.O. Now, what I did after that, and this is really fun, since I had these Capture One catalogs on an external drive, could I just run them right off that Drobo? And the answer is yes, they run great. So in other words, the master images and the catalog container were on a separate hard drive. I could plug it in to my MacBook Pro and then use Capture One, do everything that I would normally do, from image editing to keywording to whatever, and it ran fine. It ran very well. I have the RAM chip in my Drobo 5DT, and I have just regular hard drives that Drobo recommends, and I'm plugging it into the Thunderbolt 2 connector on my MacBook Pro 13-inch, and just having a heck of a time. So the ramifications of this are terrific, which are that the Drobo then can be a true archiving system, in that you don't have to copy stuff onto your computer. You can run it right off the Drobo when you need to. That's this week's journal entry into the Drobo Diaries. Here's kind of a fun post that I saw on Petapixel, and it's called How to Up Your Instagram Game, 16 Tips from Chris Burkhard. And he has 2 million followers, so he knows a little bit about what he's doing. So what Chris does in this Petapixel article is that he has 16 tips, and he goes over them. There's a little video and everything. I'm going to pick out 5 of those tips right now, 5 of my favorites, and share them with you. But I do recommend that you go over and take a look at the article. I have the link in the show notes, just like I have the links to everything else in the show notes, and see what you think. But if you're an Instagram user, see how these resonate. Here's the first one. Focus on telling a great story and write a great caption. And I totally agree with this. And I think the caption is super important. That's one of the things that I'm surprised I don't see more of on Instagram. People will snap a picture, and photographers included in this will snap a picture, and there'll be no caption information at all. So even though I may like the shot, I don't know anything about it, and it doesn't really stick with me, and I may just pass it by. Whereas if there's a caption, a pithy caption, that tells me a bit about the shot, then I can go, wow, that's cool. I didn't know that that looked like that. And then boom, you got a like. So I think that this tip is very good, especially the second part of it, which is writing a great caption. I highly encourage you to include captions with your photos. Add a location to your photo for higher engagement. And this kind of works hand in hand with the caption. Sometimes you can just use the location thing. Like if you shot it with your iPhone, it probably recorded the location, and then it'll present it to you as an option. You can just tap on it, and that can be included. But there's something about knowing where a great shot was captured is cool. Photographers like it, and it really does not only increase engagement, I think it increases likes. We like to know where stuff happened instead of just like, here's a great shot of a bridge. Well, I mean, what bridge is it? You know, maybe I'll keep an eye out for it if I'm ever in that part of the country, that sort of thing. So including location, I think, is a very big deal. Next one, if you comment, most people will check out your account. And I have found this to be true. So this is the other part of Instagram. This is really the social part of Instagram, where not only are you a provider, not only are you posting shots, but you're enjoying the work of other people. And if you comment, generally speaking, other people will check you out also. So if you want to increase the number of followers, if you're really feeling like, you know, I'm only hanging around, you know, 100, 200 kind of followers thing, then this is a great way to up that by following other people, especially people that have a lot of followers, and then commenting on their work, and not commenting just to be commenting, but, you know, really trying to add something to the dialogue there, add something to the story. And if your comments are intelligent and contribute, then people will click on you and you will get more followers. So I think commenting on other people's work, especially people who have a lot of followers, is a very good tip. Fourth one, use only relevant hashtags. And oh my gosh, yes. So hashtags really have kind of taken on a life of their own. And people sometimes, you know, are being witty with them, and they'll use a hashtag that's funny, but it's not really a hashtag in that other people aren't using that hashtag. And therefore, it's not really going to do you much good. So the hashtags that really do you good are the ones that are being used. And so a little bit of familiarity with popular hashtags is probably a good thing. And then if you have an appropriate shot that fits a popular hashtag, then use it. And chances are it will get in front of more people. Your image will get in front of more people. You don't want to let hashtags drive your photography. The other way around, using hashtags intelligently and using hashtags that are appropriate that other people are using. You know, I'll give you just a really common one, the no filter hashtag. If you post an Instagram shot and you don't do any filtering there and you use no filter, that's a popular hashtag. One that I use is film is not dead when I post a film shot. you know, that's a popular hashtag. So a little bit of research and a little bit of understanding about hashtags that a lot of people are using, and then add that to your hashtag library and use those as appropriate, I think it'll really help. And then finally, use editing apps like Snapseed. And the reason why I think this is good is because a lot of Instagram shots don't have any editing at all. And as photographers, we know how to edit appropriately. And it's a way for us to create images that are even more engaging. So just by fixing the contrast a bit, just by cropping a bit, just by, you know, maybe adding a color effect, you know, just doing some of that sort of stuff, vignetting and so forth, little things that we do all the time with our images on our computer, if we do a little bit of that work to our Instagram shots, I do think that it makes them more attractive, and I do think more people will like them and they will be more popular. So those are five of the tips from Chris from his article, where he has 16 of them. And if the five tips piqued your curiosity, then I encourage you to go over and look at the rest of them. It's a pretty cool article. Speaking of smartphone stuff, again, I want to remind you that we're on Apple News for iOS devices. The Analog Story, The Nimble Photographer, and The Digital Story were all there. And it's a great way to follow what's going on the sites. If you don't have time to get over to the website through your regular web browser and you do like Apple News, I do, and I think it looks really nice in iOS 10, then just go over to the show notes. I have the links to all three there in the show notes. That's the easiest way to do it right now. Apple News is still evolving, and The Digital Story will show up under search, but the other two still aren't yet. And so if you just go over to this article, the show notes, and then click on the links, it'll take you over to my channel. And there you can mark it as a favorite and hang on to it. All right, I got just a few updates here for you. First of all, before the end of this month, I'll be announcing the 2017 TDS workshop season by the end of this month. We're working on it, and it is killer for next year. I have some new stuff. I have some favorites. I have a nice mix of things, and I'm really excited about it. So keep an eye peeled for these. Like I said, before the end of this month, we're going to have the big announcement for the 2017 TDS workshop season. If there's something that really captures your imagination, you want to get on the reserve list so you have a chance to come to that workshop. And finally, I want to mention our good friends over at Red River Paper. Earlier, when I was talking about making 12 prints that represent your favorite shots, do it on Red River paper, really. I mean, they have so many great stocks. And this can be a fun part of the printing project, which is figuring out what paper you want to do it on. Maybe getting a sample pack, playing with a few different papers that maybe you haven't tried before. That is the fun part of it, is really getting not only the image that you want, but getting it on the right paper, the paper that really makes you happy. It could be a semi-gloss. It could be matte. It could be glossy. It could be a super high gloss. It could be a super matte. You know, I mean, there's so many things. There's also fiber inkjet paper in there. I mean, there is so much stuff. There is a stock for you, for your project, that will just make you happy. And it's a fun part of the printing project, which is figuring out the paper that you want to use. So start by going over to Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. Just go over there. It takes you to our landing page and browse around. They'll help you. They'll help you. They have things. If you're printing this, here's what we suggest. If you're printing this, here's what we suggest. You know, they have tutorials. There's so much information. It could be a really fun start to your project. And then once you figure out the paper, once you get it ordered, then you can start working on the images. Then the paper comes. Then you have the images figured out. And then you start printing. I mean, it's so enjoyable. I can't tell you. And by the way, they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. I like this time of year. And, you know, I love the excitement of summer and all the travel and everything, even though I do have a fair amount of travel this fall, too. But I also like, you know, being able to work on some of the stuff that's been on my to-do list for some time. I hope my suggestions help you. And then if you have any additional suggestions, things that you think other people might be interested in, go ahead and add them. Add a comment to the Facebook page. I always promote the podcast on our Facebook page, and it gives you an opportunity to comment on it. But if you have additional ideas for off-season projects, do it. Post them. Share it with the rest of us. You know, we might find something that we really like. Alrighty, well, I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Come back and join me. Until then, have a terrific week. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.